Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again with another series of positional previews. I want to remind everybody that these are brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce and our longtime friends For the Table Restaurant Group. Bud, this is one of the favorite things that we do every year, something that I personally look forward to, and it's as good of an indicator that the season is soon to come as anything that's on my calendar.
Ingram, happy to be doing with you again, man. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going to happen this season. We're going to actually pull some audio maybe or some quotes from last year's positional previews to see what we got right and, importantly, what we got wrong, where we can improve and make some predictions.
Let's get into it. All right, Bud. Finally, we will turn our attention to the linebackers. We have slow played this as much as possible. But it comes a time when ultimately we have to send something to production, and we might as well have this conversation now. Earlier today, I thought there was going to be some closure to the Matthew Thomas episode that does not appear to be official as of time of recording. But at some point, we've got to put this together and send it out for listeners. And tonight's probably about as long as we can delay this this 2017 linebacker preview. So let's go ahead and jump into it.
Let's jump in with a quote. Let's say here. He should be practicing today. I don't know. We'll see. But he should be practicing today. That's Jimbo Fisher today at 1:30 in the afternoon, August 28th. Just for the record right now, it's 9:20 on August 28th in the evening. And guess what? Tallahassee Democrat was out today. Florida State closed practice, so we're not going to get into that on the show, but basically they are closing practice for the rest of the year, which is going to force people who have sources to depend on those sources and force people who are just, you know, guys who hold a microphone out or a recorder out to do less. Wayne McGahee of the Tallahassee Democrat said that Matthew Thomas, he didn't see him walking into practice. Andrew Miller of Tomahawk Nation, hey, that's my site, said he did not see Matthew Thomas leave practice. Thus, unless Jimbo has constructed a tunnel from the football facility to the indoor practice facility, I think we can be relatively certain that Matthew Thomas was not at practice on Monday, August 28th, and thus the saga of Matthew Thomas continues. Ingram, if you recall, first he was out with an illness.
He was out with an illness as of about 12 or 13 days ago. Well, we told you that one, wasn't an illness, and two, that it looked like things were going to work out, that ultimately he would be able to rejoin the team. I will tell you, both of us had individual sources on that, and we conferred and decided that that was something we felt comfortable going with. I will tell you that there's been times in this process since that podcast that I've had very legitimate concerns as to if this was going to work out in the way that that we first said there. And ultimately looked like things were resolved, or at least on the path to being resolved today with Fisher's comments, but Matthew Thomas is still not out there. I'm not sure this issue's fully put to bed quite yet. I don't know that there's an absolute resolution, and I don't know, and this is kind of going inside baseball here, but I don't know that Fisher maybe has done himself any favors with his public comments that ultimately this is going to be resolved in the manner that it was. So I know where Fisher's comments stem from as far as, oh, he was sick and some of the things that he said surrounding this. Ultimately, he's trying to protect a kid. But this has gotten to a point where even if he's cleared, I mean, Bud, look, it's Monday night at 10:30 or 9:30. Kickoffs. Kickoff's Saturday night. This is, even if you get him back at this point, there's certainly still a damage is done for this one particular game, and kid missed a series at camp again. But it's just interesting to see how long this goes. At this point, I would say the longer that this goes, the more reason you have for concern. Now, it could be clear tomorrow afternoon and bout at practice, but this has been an issue that's kind of had some roller coaster highs and lows to it, and I'm not sure that it was ever a sure thing that he was going to be able to rejoin the team, and it does not appear to be a sure thing as of time of recording either.
You know, Jimbo Fisher is a rational actor, I would say, right?
The vast majority of what we have to judge him based off of, yes, I would agree with that.
So let's dig into his motivation. Why would he make these public comments about how Thomas is going to be back. He's going to be back, quote, very, very, very soon.
Yeah.
He should be back at practice today. If he didn't think he was going to be back. Now, we talked before the show, so I know what you're going to say. But, man, to me, there's only one real reason why I think. Now, clearly, he truly believes it's going to happen, I think. Because otherwise, he's setting himself up to look pretty foolish, mm-hmm. right, with these repeated statements. And in addition to the whole illness thing, which he eventually smartly changed
to his credit,
he's, quote, other issues.
To his credit, he circled back to that either today or yesterday with the national media, which I, at that point, I almost have to tip my hat to you, Jimbo. That's just hilarious.
He went back to saying that it was an illness?
He went back to saying that he had missed a couple weeks because of an illness, yeah.
Now, hold up. Today he said that Thomas would be fine to come back because he had been doing conditioning work on his own. Oh, my God.
All right. Love you, Jimbo. I honestly, at that point, I just have to chuckle and say that's my head coach. He really makes me laugh sometimes.
Don't get high on your own supply, yeah. man. All right, so you got a theory as to why he's saying this, and I think you're dead
on.
Yeah,
I don't want to be too conspiratorial here, but I do think that it's some of his comments have been made maybe to, well, I don't know if I would describe this as a game of chicken, but I think he's made comments that maybe haven't made everybody else in this issue particularly happy, and we'll see. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a push pull on this one, so, and it's not as descriptive as probably I could be, but I don't know that I want to go getting into all the real how the sausage is made here, but I don't know that this is a. I mean, look, it would be real easy for us to play a clip from 13 days ago and be like, "Yeah, we told you he was going to be back. He's going to be back. We were right." I'm trying to be as honest with you as possible that there have been two different times since we said that. That I wasn't sure that Matthew Thomas was going to be back at all. So I just think this has kind of had a little bit of a yo-yo to it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I think you are dead on. And tonight we're going to address how this linebacker unit will be with and without Matthew Thomas, because there's enough certainty now as to him actually coming back. Because at this point, I'm not entirely sure what to believe. You know, this is twice that Jimbo has set up for... You know, really, to look kind of foolish here. And maybe he'll be back tomorrow by the time this podcast is out, and everything will be just great, which is why we'll talk about Matthew Thomas as the player.
Yeah. And the player, you might have the best linebacker in the conference. I mean, I don't know that you'll have that from game one. There'll certainly be some casualties to the time that he's missed, I would think, anyway. But you legitimately have a chance to have one of, if not the best linebacker in the conference, if he's back, if he's cleared, and if he's playing for a bunch of dollar signs in his head. I firmly believe you've got one of the better linebacker talents that you'll see all year.
Absolutely. Now, he was not very good early on last year. He looked confused. He looked tentative, late to react. But, man, you're talking about a fifth-year senior who is physically mature. He's 224 pounds, assuming he has actually been – you know, working out like people think, or like the head coach says. And, man, second half last year, he was good. He triggered downfield in a hurry. He seemed to recognize plays more quickly. He was physical. He was a hitter. He's a playmaker, man. And, look, people have sort of started to say this thing, like, if we lose Matthew Thomas, it's not that big of a deal. And on the one hand, they're right in that you don't lose that much proven production, right? This is his fifth year in the program, and yet I think he's played in only like 20-something games total and started, you know, far fewer than that. What they're missing, though, is that you are losing a guy, if he's not around, who has the highest upside of any linebacker on this roster, okay? And that's a fairly big deal.
It is, and it's I mean, he and Dontavius Jackson are the two most physically gifted kids on this roster, at least that we've seen and have a real idea as to the talent that's there. And this is a real simplistic observation, but it's true. You don't ever want to start eating into your depth before game one, and it's just another body that you wouldn't be able to have snaps absorbed by. And it's a kid, like you mentioned. In the DB preview, we talked about Nate Andrews and his ties to the 2013 team and mentioned a couple other kids. I mean, it's a kid that's been on campus since 2013. He's a redshirt senior. This would not – I don't think either of us are going to say that it's the end of the year by any means, but I don't think we're going to try to sugarcoat it. If Matthew Thomas isn't able to go, I love what's behind him as far as some of the younger talent as much as anybody, and everybody wants to be able to see what ultimately Emmett Rice is, but don't confuse the optimism surrounding Rice with the real reality that losing Thomas would be a significant blow to this defense.
All right, let's play word association. If Thomas is playing for this defense, right, let's say he's back, he's eligible to play. Describe your thoughts on the linebacker position in one word.
Athletic. I would put extremely capable if you let me add two there with the bodies that you have.
You are verbose, my friend.
Yes, very, very loquacious. As the iTunes reviewers will tell us. Those two word descriptions.
Okay, I can get on board with that. I think I would go with excellent. I really, if they have Thomas, I think that this is going to be a really damn good linebacker unit. If they don't have him, how big do you think that drop-off is?
Well, it's hard to say exactly. My biggest concern is, and I just referenced, it's not his backup, but it's the number of snaps that Emmett Rice sees, and how much is a 6'2", 208-pound linebacker, is he ready to see the number of snaps that are going to come his game? Or come towards him, and is his game going to be at a level that he can play at a high level and kind of protect his body and absorb some of the hits that he'll be giving and giving out? So my concern is just the attrition that you again any attrition before the first snap always scares me, and in this particular instance, I think it's only magnified because of maybe some of the physical limitations that that Emmett Rice is thrown at him at this point in his career.
And look, you can be physical, but not necessarily strong, right? Emmett Rice is a physical player. He will hit you, but he does not necessarily have great strength, right? He might not necessarily truck somebody. He might not stand up to a blocker. In fact, I think if you get him in a confined space or sort of the proverbial in a phone booth mm-hmm. idea, I think he's probably fairly easily blocked in that situation. Now, Florida State, if it is Emmett Rice, if Thomas can't go, will look to play him kind of like they play Thomas and look to protect him with guys in front of him so that blockers don't get to him. Because Emmett Rice is a guy with elite level speed and quickness, is probably going to remind some folks just in terms of playmaking ability of Telvin Smith. Now, if you recall, Telvin Smith in 2012 wasn't near the player that he was in 2013, right? He got blocked more often, and he also was a little bit undisciplined, and he didn't have as much experience in the system. 2013, he really came on. This would be Rice's first year as a guy starting if he does indeed start in place of Thomas. And that's something I think that we're going to have to watch for. But I still like him a lot long term, and I think he can be a good linebacker. But, man, I got to tell you, if you have Thomas and you have his running mate, Roderick Hoskins, who we're going to talk about next, that's two fifth-year seniors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are guys that signed in what, 2013?
2012, yeah, 2013 class, exactly.
Those are grown men. I mean, those are guys. There's a big difference between being 23 and 19.
There's a big difference, and man, you can get away with some things with experience. If maybe you know injuries have taken a toll, and you don't have quite the burst that you used to have. But so much about linebacker, so much about playing in the middle of the field. Look at a guy like Nate Andrews and the success he had. There's so much more to reading the game, instincts, and things that you can really absorb in time. So I think there's a lot of optimism to be had if you compare these two fifth-year seniors together. Ultimately, I think the unit is more than serviceable, even if you don't have Thomas. But if you're able to look out and in the middle, you know, the kind of the spine of your defense features two kids that have been on campus for a collective decade, then that's a big first step in you know, we talked about the DBs. We talked about how good they can be and the reason for optimism. Same thing with the defensive line. Man, I feel so much comfortable as the collective unit if you've got those two seniors and those are your two predominant starters.
So let's talk about that other senior, Roderick Hoskins, who plays the other linebacker position for Florida State, is asked to take on more blocks, not as athletic as Thomas, but you know, a little more stout as far as size. Ingram, I got to tell you, I don't think he's been one of the stars of camp, but I've actually had several reports of guys who are at practice telling me, hey, you know, Rinaldo Coskins made some plays today. Rinaldo Coskins had another solid day. You know, it I don't think he's going to be like a superstar. I don't think he's necessarily going to be a guy who gets drafted. But I think he can be a pretty good college football player. Mm-hmm. And somebody who you may need his size. I mean, he's listed at, what, 230-something, I think, on the latest depth chart. If we pull it up here from Florida State, they released it today. Assuming these depth charts, of course, are accurate, which is questionable because they gave DeAndre Francois his 2 inches back. So I'm not totally sure how accurate this is. But they list him at
238, somewhere in that area.
6'3", 240. Okay. Look, with all the quarterback uncertainty in this league, you're absolutely going to need some bulk there at the linebacker position because you know teams are going to rely on the run even more and probably some more downhill running attacks coming at you, not to mention in the Alabama game where, look, I got a feeling, Ingram, that Alabama may try some downhill running just to make sure Florida State prove it can stop it.
Yeah, you may well see that. That may be why Derwin James is playing a lot of star. Who knows? Just a feeling. And Bud, I share your optimism there with Hoskins, like the player, the idea of the player that he could turn into his fifth year. Sometimes you get linebackers in their final years of the career where they're just able to play at a much higher level. They have a better understanding of the game. They have a better understanding how to read what offenses are trying to do. Situations seem to come more naturally to them. So, again, if you got two fifth-year seniors starting at linebacker, I feel real good about what this unit can be. We talked a decent amount about Emmett Rice and what he could potentially be and how we're really excited about him, maybe not excited to him being pushed into a starter's role in a year earlier than maybe he would be otherwise. But decent amount of optimism for Rice. And, man, Dontavius Jackson had a really solid freshman year who's poised poised to have a strong second year and be kind of the immediate backup to Hoskins from game one.
Yeah, and so with Dontavius, a lot of people were like, oh, with Thomas out, if he is out, and Dontavius, who has been hurt for a lot of preseason camp and been missing time, they thought that Dontavius being out meant Florida State would be down in their third-string linebacker. But the issue here, as you correctly noted, and as I think we've actually noted on the show a couple times, and I'm not trying to toot her horn, I'm just trying to say, look, I get it. This is repetitive if you're a frequent listener. Dontavius is not Thomas's backup, right? He's a bigger guy. He's not slow, but he's slower than the guys who play that weak side spot, which is manned by Thomas and Emmett Rice. Now, I have some news today. He was actually seen walking into practice. So while Jimbo Fisher said he may be out a while, and I don't know if he actually did practice, I do know that he was seen walking into practice. So that's at least encouraging there, mm-hmm. right? I don't know how long he'll be out if he actually practiced today, whatever. But he's a pretty athletic player for his size. He also did a great job of getting into better shape this summer, so it's a shame to see him get that banged up knee like that. I think he's going to be a multi-year starter for Florida State down the line. But if he can provide some good quality backup depth this year for Hoskins, I think that'll be great. One thing I wanted to say about Hoskins, by the way, is that if Hoskins is your second linebacker, and Florida State, for the most part, just plays two linebackers at a time, I think that's really nice. If he's your best linebacker, I don't think that's as nice, right? It's kind of like, let's remember when Virginia Tech and Boston College and all those teams were going to the ACC title game?
Yeah, that, certainly.
That, to me, is kind of like this, right? If those are your fourth, fifth, and sixth best teams in the league, that's a damn good league. If Virginia Tech is winning your league, that's not good, right? And I think that's kind of the thing here. If Hoskins is your best linebacker, I'm not so sure that's a good thing. But yeah, Dontavius Jackson, physical, a guy who's not afraid to mix it up. They wanted to be even more physical, actually, after last year, which I think is going to be good. We just have to see how long he's out for. As of tonight, August 28th, I don't know if he actually practiced or not today. But it's at least encouraging that he was seen going out there. I think we can say, and maybe they can get him back sooner than expected.
But if I told you that you had a guy who burst onto the scene in his 2014 year as a freshman and played considerable time with some of the talent that was on that roster, that was a local kid entering his senior year, had come off of winning the most valuable player award from spring, Hard to imagine that there's not more talk about Jacob Pugh, and maybe there is, and I'm just not looking at the right places, but sometimes I feel like this kid gets lost in the shuffle. Now, part of that's because of the position he plays, and he kind of plays the buck in that's kind of a hybrid between a defensive end and outside linebacker. But the Pugh kid is kind of a mystery to me because it's a guy who has a chance to have an incredibly impactful role in this defense, but he's not somebody that you necessarily read or hear a whole lot about when you immediately start to talk about the general fan base as far as what's at linebacker or what they have at defense this year.
And look, he won the MVP of the spring, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so with us, I know one of our discussions, Ingram, just kind of some inside baseball here for you folks listening. Do we discuss him at defensive end or do we discuss him at linebacker? Because he kind of is one of the more true hybrids on the roster. And I think he's a guy, if Thomas is out, I think Pugh is a guy who does have the ability to play some more more true linebacker. When Florida State's in their 3-4 alignment, I think he'll play a lot. Mm-hmm. They really like him. They trust him to play his assignment. He can be physical. He's just not the special pass rusher that Brian Burns is at kind of the true DN spot. And he's not really as good against the run because he doesn't have the same length as a Josh Sweat does. So where do you play him? He's a hell of a player as far as, you know, being your third best defensive end or your top, you know, kind of true 3-4 outside linebacker. And I think that's a guy they're going to be excited to have. It wouldn't shock me, by the way, if he has a big year and ends up getting drafted. Now, maybe I'll look like an idiot when we come back and do our 2018 preview and he goes undrafted and Judson pulls the audio of me saying that and you know, that type of thing. But that's a risk I'll take. He's worked hard. You're right. He is a local kid who I know they like and kept him in the program. And I think he can be a valuable asset to this defense. It also speaks to the depth this defense has, even at linebacker, to where we're not really like, I'm not saying we're not worried, but we're not like freaking out if Thomas doesn't end up back on this roster.
Yeah, I think it's a good observation. A guy that we've received a decent amount of questions surrounding recently, and that is just I think in large part the fact that there hadn't been a whole lot of talk about him is a former junior college kid, Adonna Thomas, who signed with Alabama out of school, went to Alabama and then left to play JUCO ball. So what, if anything, I can tell you, and it's not, this is absent this particular position that we're discussing, but like when, and I don't want to say how you talk to various sources or anything else, but I don't know that I've ever gotten to talk with somebody in the program where I've gotten to take a roster out and just said, all right, give me your opinion about 1 through 85. You know, when you talk to somebody, you may hear their opinion about a couple kids in a particular position. But my whole point in this long diatribe is that you don't necessarily get like a full update on how everybody's doing. And sometimes you just have to read between the lines if a kid isn't necessarily mentioned. And I will tell you personally that when I've spoken to people whose opinion I very much value, this is not a kid that's come up a whole lot. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's for the good or the bad. I just don't know that he's necessarily has a pressing role from the word go on the 2017 defense.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, best I can tell, Ingram, I think he's going to run third string, you know? I was texting the source. I did not hear the second part of what you said. That's rude of me.
Oh, I just said that we don't get to hear a breakdown on every particular kid and that it's not like we get to sit down with a roster and say, okay, how's this kid doing? How's this kid? How's this kid?
Exactly. You don't get to call up random coach and be like, hey, right, coach, I know you've had a long-ass day, but
tell me everybody that we've got on scholarship.
Can I have 4 hours of your time?
All I was saying is that, honestly, when I've talked to people at the program, they haven't told me anything about Thomas. I haven't heard about him. I don't think it means a whole lot of anything other than that he's not falling on his face or he's not pressing for a starter's role either.
Yeah, right now I think he's running third string, assuming that Jackson and Thomas get back, Matthew Thomas, that is. And if they don't, then I think there's a good chance that they will they'll move him up. Maybe he can be second string. Maybe he can play some snaps. You know, he's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, so he's got time. He's got time.
It's kind of crazy.
I think kids, whenever they see JUCO and they don't see him immediately, people tend to write him off, or not if they don't see him. If they don't hear stories that they're pressing for time immediately, they tend to write them off.
And look, that may not be a bad just general rule, right? Mm-hmm. If JUCOs come in and don't make an impact early, they may just not make an impact. But it's not a guaranteed rule. Other guys on the roster we should mention, Josh Brown. We'll see what he does. Still looking for him to make an impact, really. And Leonard Warner, true freshman, has been making some noise in practice. A guy out of, what, Brookwood, I believe?
Brookwood, yeah.
Up there. So that's nice. And one thing I was told here is that he's being more physical, which is good, because he always looked like a million bucks, and he was very athletic. But I was told he wasn't necessarily a mean player in high school, right? But so far, it seems like he's accepted the challenge and stepped up his physicality. And that's a guy who I think is, A, going to avoid a redshirt, and B, you know, there's going to be two open starting jobs, assuming Thomas is back, come 2018. I think he's a guy who's going to compete for one of those spots, and the Florida State people I talked to are pretty happy with Warner, man. They think they got a good one with him.
Yeah, he's a real sharp kid. Again, a kid that had a Stanford offer and chose to go to Florida State. It kind of reminds me of a kid that I played high school ball that chose to go to Stanford. Like one of the nicest guys I've ever met, super bright, but took him a while to develop kind of that mean, I want to kill you type attitude on the football field. So if Warner's, you know, starting to have a change in mentality, I think that's a great thing. And I don't want to overhype this kid too much. It may take a couple years, but with what he can do in coverage and some of the flexibility that Warner can give you, if he becomes a little more physical and has a real mean streak develop as far as his mentality and his approach to the game, I think this is a piece that could be a large part of Florida State's defense in year two or three.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. By the way, there's somebody we didn't talk about, and I want to be the nicest possible about this, Delvin Purifoy, who we should have mentioned in the defensive end preview, but then again, not really. Look, he was a promising guy out of Pensacola Catholic. He came to Florida State. He had the Jacoby McDaniel-type injury to the, what, upper ankle, lower leg. That's an injury that a lot of guys don't recover from. He was one of them. He's never been the same player, never even really close. I saw him at Jimbo Fisher camp this summer, the recruit camp, and I thought, who was that, right? Because he was with the defensive ends, and he didn't look like he was in, like, FSU player shape, right? And just, I'm trying to be nice here. And then I was like, oh, maybe. And then I realized, oh, it is Delvin. Delvin Purifoy, who's now a fourth-year junior, so he should be getting his degree pretty soon. You know, just sad story, man. A promising guy who just never regained the athleticism after blowing up his leg and ankle. And hopefully that's not something that's going to cause him like to have bad arthritis later on in his life. Yeah. And hopefully he's buckled down and taking the academic side of things seriously. And it's a reminder that nothing is guaranteed. Not all these guys are going to go to the NFL. I
agree completely. Speaking of Jacoby McDaniel, did you see the recent pictures of him when he came back to campus?
Look at that. What did he drop, like 90 pounds or 80 pounds or something like that?
Looks more like a strong safety than a defensive lineman. Good for him, and I'm sure with the injury he sustained, you know, carrying a whole bunch of extra weight isn't a great thing for the, you know, that ankle when you turn 40, 50, 60 and above. So good for Jacoby and all these kids. You know, we see them as recruits, and all you do is project them as football players, but you get a better idea as to just – They're humans, and good for Jacoby. Glad he's still around the program, and very impressive kind of body transformation that he's gone through. So, real quickly, Bud, we're going to talk about Derek Brooks' son for about 25 seconds or so. Don't expect a whole lot of him anytime soon, but maybe a special teams player, 5'9", 5'10", 185, 180. High 180s, I would guess, just from looking at him. We may list him a little higher than that, but a guy who's not going to be playing a whole lot of linebacker soon, but maybe you see him in some type of special team responsibility. I could see him on, like, the punt team or something like that at some point in his career.
Yeah, I mean, look, after we were wrong on Fred Jones, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Fred Jones might have been a better high school player than Brooks was. You know, which is saying something. You know my opinion on what Fred Jones was in high school. Sometimes guys do get offered because of who they are related to, and sometimes guys, maybe the staff see something in them that we don't. Anything is possible. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to be contributing significantly anytime soon. And that kind of wraps up the linebacker position, I think. unless you got anything else on these guys. I ultimately, even without Thomas, I think you might feel better about the linebacker position now than you have since, what, 2013?
Yeah, it's a good I'm trying to think of when – I would say since 2013. No, once 2014 came and you started to lose kids for all variety of reasons, this position's been kind of snake bit. So hopefully Thomas gets a situation resolved. I think ultimately that still ends the way that we thought it would 12, 13 days ago. This has just been a long process and maybe not handled perfectly, but it's real easy to look back in retrospect and nitpick little things that people do in a situation like this. So easy for us to criticize. We're not the one in the proverbial ring, but a situation that's had a little bit of an odd twist or two. So, but hopefully this has been informative for people, regardless of whether or not Thomas is able to join the team. It's a position that we feel fairly optimistic about. A lot of decent players, a lot of kids that by the time they leave, we think they have a real solid career in front of them. So, man, these position breakdowns have been a lot of fun to do, and want to appreciate everybody that's listened to them, that's given us support on social media. We've had some new five-star reviews. Those are always fantastic on iTunes. So just thank you. Thank you to our producer, Judson, who's done a great job in getting these out. Not an easy week for him, I can assure you. But as just everybody from the Nolcast, want to thank you for going through this series with us, and we are super, super excited to fully turn our attention to the 2017 season.
All right, man, and next podcast is predictions. So if you've been to the end here, thanks. 5 stars on iTunes is always appreciated, and join us for predictions in the next episode.